driving forward, diving to the goal line! A touchdown and a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it! I can't believe it!
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, and a silver trophy is coming back to New England.
You're listening to the Naked Bootleg Podcast with Evan Lazar and Adam Kirkchen.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Welcome into a new edition of the Naked Bootleg Podcast presented by the Boston Herald, Evan Lazar and Adam Kirkchen here as always. And today we are going to be discussing the offensive linemen, and free agency has kind of slowed down a little bit. So we kind of know what the Patriots need and what all the teams need. They're going to be going into the draft a little bit better now that they've filled some holes. And left tackle could not be a bigger one for the Patriots. And unless they know something about Tony Garcia that we don't, that he's going to be, you know, ready to go for week one or health, 100% healthy after the blood clot thing last year. It looks like replacing Nate Solder is kind of item number one on the checklist here.
Yeah, it's a big need. Obviously, anytime you have to replace a left tackle, it's such an important position. You really have to go after it some way. And, like we've been talking about, like a lot of people have been talking about, you know, using Wadron Waddle as sort of a bridge guy between years, it seems like what could be the option here. Another guy you don't want to really rule out because the Patriots obviously do like him because they didn't let him on the practice squad. They made sure he was on the 53 the whole year was Cole Crosston,
right,
out of Iowa. Another good player. But, you know, with Wadron, you know, the guy's got that huge tackle body. You can see him sliding in there and holding down the fort until they feel like they want somebody like Garcia or somebody else in there. But this is an opportunity if somebody slides to them to draft somebody, use them as a quote-unquote red shirt for 1 year and then throw them in there because that's generally what they would rather do than throw a rookie at left tackle when Tom Brady's 41 years old.
Yeah, and that's what they did with Solder too, even though he was a first-round pick. Matt Light started at left tackle for one more year, and then they made the transition to Solder. And Solder they used on the right side a little bit, used as a sixth offensive lineman, got him in the game whatever way that they could at the time. But they left Light, at that left side and for a year until Solder was ready to go. So today what we're going to do is we're going to give you all of the guys that we think are, whether they're first-round picks or mid-round guys or even later, are options for the Patriots here at left tackle in this draft. We'll keep the interior linemen. I think the Patriots don't really have as much of a big need on that one, so we'll table that for now. But let's look at these left tackle guys, and we'll start with the number one guy on most people's board, and I think he's the number one tackle in this draft, and that's Notre Dame's Mike McGlinchey. And all of a sudden, you know, this happens every draft season, but all of a sudden a couple of guys that we thought were going to go top 10, top maybe even higher, all of a sudden start to slide down the board a little bit as we get closer and closer to the draft. So McGlinchey is one of those guys that I thought was going to be a top 10, top 15 pick automatically, but now it sounds like he's going to maybe fall a little bit, or maybe that's just, you know, blowing smoke. But what do you think about him?
Well, yeah. For a little bit, I was buying into some of that stuff, and then I was telling you earlier, I was watching a little bit more of his film, and I just couldn't really find these things that, maybe caused people to sour on him a little bit. I again watched the Miami film. I remember watching that game when it happened, and then I watched this game. I watched it, his film against them this time, and even against them, when Notre Dame got croaked and Miami has some really athletic guys on the edge, you know, he was fine. You know, he was not the problem in that game at all.
Yeah.
So, he's a big guy. He plays with good technique. He's, he's got the size to step in right away and be effective. I don't know how far he will slide. I think enough GMs know that the guy can play and play well. I've heard that, some people don't think he's as good in pass protection, but I think you know, compared to the other tackles in this draft, he's fine. You know, he's just fine against pass protection, on pass protection. And, you know, he's also a really, really good run blocker, which I think really sets him apart from some of these other guys that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the first thing that stands out. Two things that really stand out for me with McGlinchey. One, he has the measurables. You know, he checks every box, height, weight, arm length, all that type of stuff for a left tackle, which we'll get to some of the other ones on this list. It's not always true, right? You know, some of these guys are definitely built more like right tackles or built more even like guards potentially. McGlinchey, he checks every box in terms of the measurables. And then the other thing is, you know, he got overshadowed a lot of the time by Quentin Nelson in the run game because everybody was so focused on his tag mate there at left guard. But it turns out that McGlinchey is just as good of a run blocker maybe as Quentin Nelson, which is saying, you know, a lot. It's high praise. He is a people mover, and you can do all sorts of different things with him. You can have him block straight up against a defensive lineman. You can have him climb. You can have him move on a toss or something like that, and he's just going to wreck people. So I think that in that respect, I think he could step in day one for a team and be really, really good. The only things that I see like as major issues, one thing, you know, I wanted to ask you about, he had some trouble with speed rushers. And, you know, that's often one of those things where there's two things that it's either a problem of. One, it's foot speed, or the second one is it's hand usage and punch. Or the ability to, like, bend and punch, I guess, is really more what it's about. So with McGlinchey, there's a little bit of that where, like, he's a little stiff in his hips and he goes to bend over and get these, like, low-edge rushers that are bending around the edge. Like, obviously in the NFL, you got guys like Von Miller who have patented the bend around the edge, and that's, like, their go-to move. So that's going to be a little bit of an issue, I think. And obviously the big one also that people have been pointing out a lot of the draft people – is that his punch is inconsistent. Doesn't always hit his mark, and he's sometimes a little bit late to punching a guy, and his hands are a little bit late. Now, when you're an offensive lineman, especially on the left side, you better get your hands on somebody quickly if you're going to stop him.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that we've seen a lot with these guys that we're going to talk about is that punch. Guys aren't powerful with it, or they're more catchers and stuff like that. And I think that's going to be sort of a problem with a lot of these guys. But I would say your comment there about his stiffness is a little bit what I think would be the biggest question mark when it comes to defending speed or blocking speed rushers. That seems to be because, you know, he does have a little bit of sort of that stiffness to him. But overall, I think, you know, I don't think he is a bad pass blocker. I think if you're looking against, you know, maybe elite speed rushers, sure, you know, but I don't think any of these guys are going to come in and dominate guys like that in the NFL. So I think with what you have tool-wise, he's as good as you're going to get in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, the big thing is with the speed rushers is that it's ugly, right? Like you see a couple of reps on McGlinchey's tape that people have really highlighted in this draft season where he just gets beat instantly by a speed guy bending around the edge. And he's kind of just still in his set and not really even close to it. And that is scary, you know, as a left tackle to see that. So I think that that's the biggest reason why people are kind of like hot and cold on him as we get closer to the draft. But I think you and I are both in agreement that if he's on the board at 31, I mean, you got to take this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, with the need, with how good he is, you take McGlinchey in the first round, I'm pretty positive that you're going to have your starting left tackle for the next like 5 to 10 years, I would say. So let's move on to the next one, who's a guy that we both love. I have some questions about him, but Connor Williams out of Texas is probably the best, most polished offensive lineman in this draft, I would say. He just does it all really well. I'm a little concerned about him playing left tackle. I kind of think he's built a little bit more like a guard because he's compact and, you know, has shorter arms and it doesn't quite have the left tackle height that you would like to see. But, I mean, man, he's as good as it gets, I think, in terms of an offensive lineman. And he could be an all-pro at five different spots on the offensive line. He could be an all-pro center for all we know at this point. And I, like, wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, I 100% agree. In terms of guys' film that I like watching the most, it's his. Because he is so aggressive. He plays through the snap. He plays through the whistle. And he really just punishes guys when he gets his hands on them. And when we're talking about guys who don't have good punch in this class, he is not one of them.
Yeah.
He initiates contact so well without overextending, you know, like his technique is sound. So, you know, like I think a lot of guys that we're going to be talking about today have the right body, but really are sort of soft on technique. This guy's the opposite. I mean, you would like him to have longer arms or be an inch or two taller or what have you. But in terms of the way he plays, in terms of the way he uses his technique to beat guys, in terms of his attitude, you've got all of that with him. So, again, this is another guy that I feel like he might slide a little bit. Who knows? You know, you never know. If he does slide to the Patriots, I think it would be very, very hard to let him pass him. I don't think he can do that.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that in terms of nastiness and just what you look for in an offensive lineman, like so many of these GMs are old school when it comes to line play, and he's just like the guy. You know, he's the one that you want on your team. He's going to be, you know, full effort all the time, plays with great strength, high football IQ, all those things. And you know, one thing that I think is really a testament to his play is that he, you know, worked out at his pro day at all five different spots on the offensive line. So, like I said earlier, like he could be an all pro anywhere and, you know, no one would really be that surprised. Do I think that left tackle, he can play left tackle? Yeah, I definitely do think he can play. Now, I don't look at the measurables and the hand and the arm length and stuff like that as much as other people do. I think that it's a little bit overblown. It's one of those draft things that we get into the weeds of, and it's like, oh, this guy doesn't hit the threshold for his arm length, so he's, you know, he's not going to be a left tackle. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I turn on the tape, and I just see a guy that gets it. Like, he just knows how to play football. He knows how to play offensive line, and, you know, a lot of people that I trust a lot in this business or whatever, people I talk to, just say that Connor Williams, in their opinion, is the second best offensive lineman in this draft to Quentin Nelson because of just the way that he has the entire package. Now, the couple of things that I would be concerned about him with playing at left tackle specifically would definitely be his build if we're going to get, you know, really into the weeds about it, but also his depth in his pass set can kind of be inconsistent. Sometimes he doesn't explode the way that you would like and get as much depth there, which can be a problem against edge rushers. But overall, I mean, this guy's tape is as good as he gets. It's you're right. It's like really fun to watch him play because it's just he just wrecks people and he really makes it a really tough time for other, you know, defenders to play against him. And it's like the guys probably aren't looking forward to playing against Connor Williams when they know he's on the schedule.
Right. And exactly. And the thing about him is a lot of these guys too we're talking about are good pass blockers and they're just sort of average run blockers, not McGlinchey obviously, but this guy loves to run block. You know, he does not. And just the other thing too is, you know, the scouts love to look at, all right, well, is this guy going to take a playoff here or there? He takes no plays off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he somehow falls to the patch, you take him, you're happy, you're in a good spot with him.
Right, and I don't think that the Patriots, as much as us, you know, media or fans want to be like, all right, left tackle is the one need, and it's like they got to draft somebody that can play the left side. I think that they'd be really happy with drafting a guy like Connor Williams, where with a couple of the guys that are coming up in free agency and some guys, you know, Marcus Cannon coming back from an injury. You never know. You know, you never know where Connor Williams could help you out. And maybe, you know, he ends up playing guard or ends up playing tackle. And I don't think a team like the Patriots is going to mind too much if he's going to play as well as he did in college, as well as he did on tape. especially, you know, before his injury in 2016, he was dominant. I mean, he was as good as he gets. So I would be really excited if they were able to get Williams. I don't see him falling. I think that the old school GMs that are still in the league are going to fall in love with the way that this guy plays the game. And are going to take him. You know, a guy that I've spoken to in the past, Scott McLuhan, who drafted Brandon Scherff, Trent Williams, a few good ones in Washington before they let him go for no reason. he said that Connor Williams is his favorite in the draft above Quentin Nelson. Yeah, which is extremely high praise. And I trust Scott. I mean, he drafted two Pro Bowl offensive linemen just in his time. In Washington, he did all sorts of offensive line stuff. That's his specialty. So I really think that this guy can really play. I would be shocked to see him or McGlinchey at 31 still on the board. But if either is, I'm running up there with the card. And I don't really care who else is on the board, to be honest. All right, going to number three here, who is probably the most talked about player for the Patriots in this draft, period. And that's Colton Miller from UCLA. Maybe only Kyle Uletta gets more Patriots buzz right. than this guy. I mean, it's amazing. Now, obviously, there's a lot to like about him in terms of a size and athleticism standpoint. He absolutely blew the combine out of the water, and he is massive. He checks every single box that you can want. But I am much lower on him than I think taking him at 31 is a real reach for me at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there's things that, you know, if you want to make the argument for him, you know, if you have a guy who has his physical traits, right, and you think he's got parts of his game that can be cleaned up just with good coaching, then fine. You know, this is a really good pick. So, but the thing is that when you watch him on film, there are a lot of concerns. And, like, you know, the thing that I look at when I watch him is when we were talking about punch earlier, this is a guy that really doesn't have the hands and the punch that make you think that he can deal with, you know, a real powerful edge rusher. Like, for instance, like when he's anchoring back in these pass blocking situations, and he sort of waits for the guy to come to him a little bit sometimes, not always, but he doesn't really initiate contact enough. And a lot of times when a guy does that and he has to deal with that, especially at the NFL level, you know, a bull rusher will just run him over. So, and a lot of times it's kind of easy for guys to disengage from him. But, you know, like, look, if Skarnecki or Belichick or any of these guys think that these are things that can be coached out of him and they like his physical abilities enough, then, you know, they can go right ahead. And, you know, this is, again, like, they're in a position this year where they can use him as somebody sort of as a backup to learn for a year. However, you know, if you're comparing him to somebody like Williams, for instance, like, Connor Williams doesn't have those problems, you know, like he's the total opposite. He's not somebody that you're going to wow you with his combine numbers or anything like that, but he's just going to battle. And you don't get that sense from Colton Miller. And a lot of times that you watch Miller, it's like these inside moves really, really give him problems. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I think he's a very good athlete, and I can see why people are excited about him. But, you know, there's a lot of concerns, too, that would have to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this a lot, and it's just like it feels like the projects that are great athletes, everybody just pencils them in for the Patriots because they just assume that Belichick and Skarnecki, you know, in the offensive line category are going to just take them and fix them. Because that's just what they do as coaches. And, you know, maybe that can happen. But really, the thing is that his athleticism, to be honest, doesn't translate all that much on tape. Like, I understand that he went and killed the combine, but you look at his pass protection, and it needs to be completely reworked from the ground up. Like, he doesn't kick slide very well. He has a hitch, like a false step that happens almost every single time he goes back into his pass slide. That's a big problem. I mean, I understand that they can say, hey, don't do that. But like, it's not, you know, it's not that simple. Like, this is something that's like predetermined into his body right now that they're going to have to, with muscle memory, essentially, you know, kick out of him. which I just don't think is something that can happen right away. And maybe you can, you know, fix that later on. And maybe, like you said, they can sit him behind the late Adrian Waddle for a year and kind of coach him up and hopefully get him ready to be the starting left tackle next season. But, man, I mean, I don't know. And then, like you said about his hands, they're just weak. Like, they're just weak hands. And he gets them slapped away. He gets them, you know, he doesn't get them up and inside a guy's shoulders like you'd like to see and really hold the guy. You don't ever see that from him. You don't see much arm extension. I mean, the biggest thing that I saw a lot of the time was that his hands will just get swiped down and swiped away by pass rushers all the time. And that's like a big problem. That's not a like, oh, we can just coach him better. Like, that's like a he has weak hands. And that's going to be the way that it is unless he can kind of strengthen his body up. And then the other thing is that he is, you know, head over feet all the time. Terrible posture. I mean, it's just – it's a really big reach for me at 31 because you are essentially taking this guy as a complete project as a first-round pick. And I just can't sell myself on that. I can't sell taking a guy that I don't even know – if he does anything all that particularly well, other than the fact that he's super athletic and he looks the part of playing left tackle. Now, his athleticism does translate a little bit into the running game. He can make blocks on the move. He can climb. He can do stuff like that. And he's able to push people around a little bit. But I just think that there's a lot to work on with this guy. And it's like people are just penciling him in at 31 in these mock drafts and stuff. Like, there shouldn't be a second thought. Like, great athlete, perfectly built, give him to Dante Scarnecchia and he'll be fine. And I just don't know if I'm completely sold on that. I think that the Patriots might not be completely sold on that. I think that they could look at Colton Miller and see a guy that's obviously a little bit more athletic and a little bit more well-built, but is in a similar vein to like a Tony Garcia, where he's like, you know, a mid-round guy that's going to be a project that they really like in terms of his ceiling as a player. But I just don't see them thinking that he's going to be a guy that's going to be a first round pick. I could be wrong.
Right. No. Yeah. I think you covered it.
Yeah. And the thing that bothers me is that, like, he has been propped up by people in draft season since the combine. And like, now all of a sudden it's like, he's this great prospect because he looked good in, you know, spandex running around in Indy.
I think that's a really big, pet peeve of both of ours is that, mm-hmm. you know, like, people will sort of come in late and, you know, watch the combine and see these numbers and be like, all right, well, then that's.
Yeah, he's the best tackle in the draft, right? I mean, that's like, there's people in these mock drafts that literally have McGlinchey not going ahead of Colton Miller. And I'm just like, what are you watching? Like, there's no way.
They're watching the combine and not the
film. Right. And it's just, oh man, it's
guy, but
if you put on the tape for Colton Miller, and then we'll move on to the next guy. If you put Colton Miller's tape on, you see like a third or second round prospect, right? And then all of a sudden he goes to Indy, he has a killer combine, and now he's a first round pick. Like, that didn't just happen overnight. Like, and you know what? The athleticism and stuff is great. Like, the spider charts on mock draftable and stuff. It's like he reaches every, you know, end. It's like 90 percentile and everything. It's fantastic. But the point is that, you know what? We have a lot of game tape to watch on this guy where he's playing football, not just running around or, you know, getting measured or whatever, you know, with a measuring stick, you know? So I just hope that it's not him. I really do. I hope if they take him, it's at 43 and not 31, and they would get one of those defensive players at 31. It's just one of those things that gets me going. All right,
let's go.
We can move on now. I promise. I had to get that out there about Colton Miller. You knew it was coming.
Yeah, I know. You scorched the earth.
All right. So this next guy is a guy that I really like, who I think is like what people want Colton Miller to be, but he isn't yet. And that's Brian O'Neill from Pittsburgh, who is smooth in his pass set. He is very, very athletic. He's a converted tight end. He ran like a 4.82 at the combine as an offensive lineman at 300 pounds. So that's just insane. So there's a lot of things to like, where it's like, this guy has the size, he has the athleticism, a lot like Colton Miller, but I think his tape is a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, the thing I like about O'Neal is, like you said, it really does show up on tape. He's very athletic on tape. I mean, like you said, the tight end stuff. I mean, there was the NC State game I was watching the other day where they lined him up as a tackle eligible and they threw him the ball and he ran for like a 15-yard touchdown. And it wasn't – it didn't look awkward. It didn't look like, you know – like Tom Brady running on the it's like this guy can go. And so it's so fun to watch him. Like you can just imagine him on one of the screen plays or something like that, going out to the second level and picking out a guy and blocking him and not knocking him down. You know, he can really move. Like obviously, like I think there's some things he needs to clean up. Like he needs to get lower at times. I feel like he plays a little high. And you can get leverage on him, but you know, if you think that he's going to drop, which I feel like a lot of people are sort of seeing him as like a third round guy, or second or whatever. But you never know where these dominoes are going to fall. But I think you know, if you don't have a guy you like in at 31, and you want to pick somebody like O'Neal a little bit later, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, he reminds me more on tape of Nate Solder than Colton Miller, even though Colton Miller gets a ton of Nate Solder comps. And biggest thing is that his athleticism, like you said, it translates. Like it's football athleticism. It's not just, you know, combine athleticism. He can move in his pass set. He's pretty smooth kicking out and sliding. He has some leverage issues, I agree, and he plays a little bit high. And his play strength is a big issue. He's not a people mover. He's not going to move people in the run game. And he's definitely susceptible to the bull rush. It's going to be one of those things similar to what we were saying about Tony Garcia last year, where he's going to have to bulk up and he's going to have to be able to prove that he can play against some of these bigger guys in the NFL and hold up to the power rushes and the bull rushes and stuff like that. But I really just think that this guy checks a lot of Patriots-like boxes. He has the measurables that the Patriots usually look for. He's a very, very good athlete. You know, he's already at this point, I think, a pretty good run blocker on the move, like you were saying, like on screens or if you toss it outside to the left side and have him get in front, stuff like that. You see him making blocks on the move at the second level. And he's pretty good at identifying, you know, all right, I got to block this corner. I got to block this safety and getting out there and making that block. So that's good to see. He'll get beat by some strength guys. Like he's going to have some problems with some bull rushers and stuff like that. But I really think that, you know, it would be a fun competition between him and Tony Garcia behind Lager and Waddle to see if either one of those guys can kind of, you know, start in year one. I don't know if they can, but I think it would be fun to watch because both of them are kind of similar. They have some similar strengths and weaknesses, him and Tony Garcia. I mean, so I think it would be fun to see those two guys go at it in training camp. All right, let's move on to this next one, who's a guy that I was pretty high on, and I still think I am, and that's Jamarco Jones from Ohio State, who we were talking about this the other day. It's always great when you can watch a guy from Ohio State. Because, you know, you just know that you're getting a highly recruited guy that's played against good competition on a really good team and has done pretty well. And that's kind of what, you know, you get with Jones, who I think is one of the better pass protectors already in this class.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you. And this is another guy that whose film I enjoyed watching because I think he played with a good mean streak. I think he, you know... He's a big guy. I would actually kind of like to see him maybe lose like 10 pounds or so. I think he's got a little extra bad weight, but
that midsection in draft season, great term.
Right, but I do think though, like he's a little underrated here by a lot of the people that are doing these drafts. I think you know he's. He's got pretty good size and he moves well. And a lot of the games I saw him, he really was just solid all the way around, you know, and, you know, he's, I think, you know, you talk about some guys that can't move guys on the run game. He can definitely move guys on the run game. And I think he's a very good pass blocker. So, you know, I'm just a little curious as to why you know, he's not as well thought of by others around the league, but I think he's a, you know, like, I mean, I think he's better than Colton Miller, you know? So, you know, I
obviously think that too.
Yeah, I know. So like, I enjoy watching his tape. I think he's a big enough guy to be a force in the run game, and I think he's athletic enough to be a good pass blocker.
Yeah, I really was impressed with the tape because, honestly, when you watch it, there's, like, not a ton of mistakes. He really doesn't false step or anything like that. He doesn't get beat a ton early on. One thing, you know, that I noticed that I think that maybe some people are questioning is that he does lose late a lot of the time, and he can lose his leverage, and he gets into those hand fighting things, and sometimes he loses those battles that you'll see defensive linemen, edge rushers separate from him at, you know, late in the snap, especially if the pocket moves a little bit. Not always an offensive lineman's fault, obviously, if the angle changes on the quarterback, but sometimes you see it happen when it doesn't. And that's, you know, a little bit problematic. But in terms of pass protection, I really do think that this guy is the best in the class right now in terms of pass protection. PFF gave him a very high pass protection grade as well. They have him graded out as the highest pass protector in the class too. He's really smooth, explosive. He's got long arms and he knows how to use them. Like, you see him lean back a lot of the time and just stick those arms out and leverage guys and hold guys at the point of attack. And it's pretty impressive. He can really get guys, you know, stonewalled into those situations where they, like, just can't move when he anchors, which is nice to see. So I think that, you know, there's some questions about his weight. I agree. There's some questions about maybe his overall athleticism. He's probably not as good of an athlete as some of the guys that we've talked about already. And maybe a little bit of a weight loss will help. And the other third thing is that at Ohio State, there isn't a ton of straight drop back passing. You know, a lot of mobile quarterback stuff, a lot of, different RPO type of things. So you don't get to see a guy like DeMarco Jones. And this is kind of true for a lot of these guys, to be honest. You know, just in the college game, it's pretty difficult because you're working with, like, a really small sample size of true pass sets where it's a drop back pass by the quarterback and the guy's got to really mirror a pass rusher. So DeMarco Jones, I think, can and has proven time and time again that he can mirror pass rushers, but he didn't do it a ton at Ohio State. It's not something that they did a ton in their offense. So, you know, that might be a little bit of a question mark, a little bit of an experience there. But really, I think that, you know, in terms of if you want a guy that is fundamentally sound, is just going to come in and do his job from day one, then I think that I would put Jones ahead of probably both O'Neal and Colton Miller in that category.
Right. Yeah, and I think we were saying this today, the other day too, is that, you know, there's certain, you know, positions. I mean, a lot of schools are good at almost every position, like Ohio State. But I mean, a lot of times I look at an Ohio State lineman and just sort of give them a little, you know, extra nudge because they're, you know, I feel like even in college, like, you know, they can lose four starters and then just assembly line. Other guys, and so I like what he brings to the table. I think he'd be a good pick, especially, you know, if they get some value, you know, later.
Right. Yeah, and also that Urban Meyer connection. Don't sleep on that either. You know, him and Belichick go way back, and they definitely are going to talk, I'm sure, about a couple of different guys in this draft. And I would assume that DeMarco Jones will be on that list. All right, let's get on to this next guy. Let's do Orlando Brown first, because this one is, like, you know, we got to talk about him. He's definitely a prospect, definitely a left tackle prospect. But obviously, you know, this is one of those situations where, you know, even though I'm not as high on Colton Miller because of his combine, when you see a combine like Orlando Brown's, you really have to start questioning whether this guy is going to make it in the league.
Right. Well, I think, yeah, it's almost a preparation issue. You know, you got to prepare for the combine, and you're not going out there and playing football. You're going out there and doing these tests, and it's almost like he overslept and, you know, didn't study. And so that's how I look at that. I don't necessarily always look at it from the perspective of what the times were and stuff like that. But you know, obviously but even if you do look at his film, he isn't quite as athletic as you'd like him to be. And he also, I feel like, you know, whereas a guy like Connor Williams doesn't, you know, have the size and the length that Orlando Brown has, you know, Orlando Brown has all that stuff, but I don't think he plays as hard every snap. I don't think he, you know, like there's times when you watch him in the run game where he's just sort of almost going through the motions. And I don't know if that's his lack of athleticism or if he's just sort of taking plays off. But either way, you don't like to see that. And so I can see why guys would like him, you know, obviously because he's such a big guy and he sort of blocks out the sun at left tackle. So, but, you know, I do think there's legitimate concerns there beyond just him having a bad combine. But, you know, it's – you know, it's one of those things where he's probably going to drop a lot.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think that his combine where he was like kind of penciled in to be a second round pick, maybe even a top 50 player before the combine, just based on the tape. Now I think he's a third round guy now. I just don't see how a team takes him that early after what he displayed at the combine. Not only was the workout terrible, but his attitude and stuff was not good either. And that kind of translated on tape too, of what you were saying about the effort. Like there is definitely question marks about whether this guy has enough effort from play to play to play in the NFL, where you really can't take long periods of time off and get away with it like he could in college, because one, he was in such a good offense, and two, he's just massive. You know, he's just a lot bigger than all the guys in college. It's really funny to watch him when they pull him on running plays.
Right.
He's like literally the slowest guy I've ever seen on a football field. And like you pull him around and it's just like the running back half the time just doesn't even wait for him to get there.
No.
And he can't, you know, it just takes too long. So in the NFL, I mean, it was interesting to me to see them do it as much as they did, because I really like Lincoln Riley a lot, the Oklahoma coach. We both like him a lot. And it was interesting to see him keep going back to that well, because I really would have thought that really what they would have done with Orlando Brown was just have him block the guy in front of him, because you start pulling him and moving him around and stuff. And I get that in theory, a guy that big, it will be great if you can get him moving downhill to block in the run game. But, man, it just takes forever to develop. So I think that that's an issue. I also think that, you know, the foot speed, like, you know, kind of in the same vein, and the pass protection is going to be an issue. But at the same time, you turn on the tape, and in the run game, he's a monster. You know, he's moving people. He hits people out straight off the ground. There's a lot of pancakes on his film that you can find in the run game of him just, you know, putting guys into the ground and stuff like that. But just literally his upper body sometimes is strong enough just to throw dudes down. So that's impressive. You don't really see that from a lot of these other guys. So I think that there is a lot to like. There's obviously a lot to not like. But if you're looking at this and, you know, just a big picture standpoint here, if Orlando Brown is on the board and you haven't drafted a left tackle yet, or even if you have, and he's on the board and you're picking in the third round or something like that, you know, that's great value, I think, because this is a guy that based on the tape is like a second round pick. So if you can get him anywhere after the top 50, I think that you're into that zone where it's like, the risk is worth the reward because of how, you know, we're not using a first round pick on him. We're not using a top 50 pick on him. You're using, you know, the 63rd pick or something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So last one here, a guy that I really like is kind of a sleeper, kind of the biggest sleeper out of all of these, Chucks Okorafor from Western Michigan, who basically checks every single box from a left tackle standpoint, ideal measurables, really big dude, kind of like Orlando Brown. But obviously very, very raw, going to be a complete project.
Yeah, I agree. That's what you see on film is, it's sort of like somebody who's just sort of almost, hey, am I doing this right?
Yeah.
but you do still see, like, I mean, the thing that I like about him too, is that he's, like physically, he doesn't look like some of these guys who have too much weight. I mean, he's got the right proportion to him yet. He still needs to, like, I think if anything, he needs to add some mass, but he is athletic. I think he's got the tools to be a good NFL left tackle. I don't think he's somebody who's going to, you know, come in and play right away at all. But you really do need to sort of work with him a little bit. And sometimes he does have that thing a little bit where he lets the defensive lineman come to him rather than he go to him. So, yeah, I think there's things to like. You know, I don't You know, I worry a little bit about him, you know, being pressed into action early, because I think that could be really disastrous.
Yeah.
But I do like what he brings to the table. And physically, you want a guy who kind of looks like that sometimes. And I feel like if they can put a little bit of weight to him, add, you know, some functional strength to his game, then he'll be really good. Because like you said, he's a little bit new to the game. And he's also somebody that just is sort of learning and picking things up. And I think he can do that, you know. So, again, this is like, you know, somebody you get in the sort of mid to later rounds and you work with him, and he's, you know, he's somebody that can, you know, who can be an NFL left tackle if, you know, if he hits his ceiling.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think that, you know, one thing I saw on tape that I really liked was that he really explodes out of his stance. I mean, there's some times where you really see that that nice pop and jump out of his kick slide and his ability to mirror pass rushers, I really think is going to be there. But I think that, you know, everything that you said is really true. And the one thing that is definitely something that is fixable and you can see right away when you watch him is that he carries his hands way too low. And his hands are slow and they're low and they're just no good at all. So he has the arm length. He has the strength, I think, to be much better with his hands. So I don't think it's that functional issue, but I definitely think it's, you know, something that needs to be coached up. You just see him, you know, when he played against, which Watt was it? TJ Watt, it must have been. At Wisconsin, TJ Watt absolutely dominated him in that game, because all TJ Watt's is like a technician, like JJ, and he was just able to beat him with hand placement every single time off the snap, and it was not pretty for Chuck. So I think that that's one thing that he's going to have to learn pretty quickly if he's going to want to play early on in the NFL, is how to get those hands up and how to really hit a spot on his punch. That's going to be an issue for him. Weight distribution, also a bit of an issue for him. Sometimes gets a little bit too far forward in the stance and can get beat that way. But really, I think he's a solid project prospect. You know, a guy that if you want to take, like you said, a little bit later in the draft and kind of coach him up, this is the type of guy that I would much rather them see them take a chance on and let Dante Scarnecchia do his magic than a guy like Colton Miller, because it's going to be later in the draft and it's going to be a complete project from day one. And we're not going to expect him to come in here and be a starting left tackle or be Nate Solder or whatever from day one on. But yeah, if you go watch that game against TJ Watt, TJ Watt takes his lunch money for four straight quarters because of his, just his hand usage and his ability to be a tactician as a pass rusher. And Chucks really did not have a response to that. But I really do like him. I think that he is an ideal tackle prospect in terms of just, you know, checking all the boxes and stuff like that. But, it's going to be a long road, I think, for some of these guys. That's pretty much it is the problem. If you're from a Patriots perspective, we just listed seven guys. And in this draft, that's pretty much the only true left tackle prospects that you really can get your hands on. There's some guys that maybe could play left tackle that most people think are either going to play on the right side or inside at guard. A guy like a Tyrell Crosby from Oregon or something like that. But in terms of true, like this guy checks the boxes to be a true left tackle, that's kind of it. So that's a little bit worrisome if you ask me.
But I do think there's, you know, that group is enough. And if somebody's available that they can get somebody, I do feel like the O'Neal guy is somebody who I would target the most right now in terms of somebody that fits the most boxes. But in terms of who might be available and who, you know, fits the profile the most. So, if I was going to say out of all these guys, who is the most likely to land on the team, I would pick O'Neal. But it could be any of these guys, and there's certain guys that I like more than others, obviously. But, anything can happen in terms of guys falling or trading up or trading down and stuff like that. So all that's going to be interesting. But I think we pretty much covered, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of these guys and, what they look like.
Yeah, I agree. I think O'Neal is the guy, too, that I would circle. Much more, realistic risk in terms of where they're going to be able to get him. compared to like a Colton Miller or something like that. Get him a little bit later on. He still has a lot of the same traits that people like in Colton Miller with the size and the athleticism and all that type of stuff. So I think that a couple of these guys in the second or third round could be some really good value picks. And I trust that the Patriots would be able to turn them into pretty good players. But the next time you hear from us, we're going to finally move over to the defensive side of the ball and start to break down all of the defensive players in this draft that might fit the Patriots' needs and whatnot. Obviously, even though they did some work in free agency, there's still plenty to talk about on that side of the ball to improve and stuff like that. We'll obviously get to linebackers, we'll get to edge rushers, we'll get to all that good stuff. So, next time you hear from us, that's what we'll be doing. But until then, signing off for Adam Kirch and I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.